The enemy is gradually squeezing us into a mold, reminding you, you were made to stand alone. You were not made to stand alone. Even the world understands it. We must learn to fellowship with each other. Amen. So the New Testament church devoted to the apostles' teaching, they devoted to fellowship. And let me take the fellowship thing a little bit further. Why should I fellowship? Why do I need to get involved in other believers' lives? You can get involved in people's lives without being nosy. You can do it. Are you guys with me? Why? Number one, because God commands it. Not because you like it. God wants us to fellowship, and he commands that we should do that. Romans chapter 12. I want to read verse 1 and 2. I'll read it from the Phillips translation. Phillips. It says, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you. They are needling you, but I beg you. I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him, acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Now, let me pick two sentences and summarize verse 1 and verse 2 in this sentence. Write it down. I beg you, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. What is the mold? I call it the mold of isolation. Privacy. Secrecy. You are struggling with sin. Instead of you to come out and say, I see this brother or this sister, they're having victory. Let me walk with them so they can help me. You want to be isolated. You want to stay private and keep struggling. What's the matter with you? Hey, we needle each other, but we still need each other. And it's not because I'm saying it, because God says, you do. Amen. You know, we live in a time when there is the hike of all kinds of associations. And every one of them have something on WhatsApp. Because people have seen the need that coming together is important. You just have to be careful what you are coming together for. Amen. Like someone I joined. I don't think I joined. They added me to it. And I removed myself from it. So they called me and said, we needed you here. Because when you were in school, I said, I hear you. I said, what is the real purpose of this coming together? And they said, so we can help the school. I said, anytime you need money, call me, but don't put me on there. Because I don't like pimping on my phone, every second, pimping. No, you are disturbing me. But I chose not to be alone as well, because I have joined myself to those who would challenge my faith and make me go forward. I have seen believers who are struggling in their faith, and they are messing around with people who are not in faith. In fact, when I'm believing God for certain things, there's a season I don't talk to people. You know why? Because when they open their mouth, I realize unbelief. The more I deal with you, unbelief will destroy me. But I cannot also stay by myself. So I have to be around those who are people of faith. We needle each other, but we need each other. We are all porcupines. I beg you, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The world is squeezing us into the mold of isolation. I share some of the stuff with you. When I read Frederick County's policy 443, they are saying that a child who is 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old has the right to make a decision that he doesn't feel comfortable in his body. So he can make the change without parental consent. However, in the same document, when there is trouble about intimidation, harassment, and bullying, now they need the parent. Couple of weeks ago, my daughter was having some pain at school. And I asked them, can you give her this? Because I know what's going on. And they told me, it can't be done. We need parental consent. How do you need parental consent for motoring and you don't need parental consent for changing somebody's sexual orientation? You tell me what's going on. The world will squeeze you into its mold if you allow it. You must be in the flock of the porcupines. We will be needling you, but you will need us as well. Are you understanding where we're going? The church, the early church, you will find people in church. Can I step on your toes? You'll find people in church. They have associations everywhere but the believers in the church, because they have this mindset that the believers in the church are some way, somehow. I didn't say anything you were saying. Some way, somehow. But the problem is they forget themselves. That you two, you are the same. Same way. Truth is, there are no angels in this building. Are you understanding me? I remember somebody one time told me, Pastor, the people are sinning. I said, the only job security I have is because there are sinners. The day they are righteous people, I don't have a job, I'm out. As long as there are people doing the wrong thing, I have a job. God needs me. The day they are righteous people, God has no need of me. So I told the person, you want to put me out of job? I said, leave me alone. Has God solved all the problems in the world? Has he? Somebody said, not yet. No, he won't do it because he responds only to faith. And there are people who are crying and the others are complaining. But those who would choose to say, Lord, I'm believing you, let something happen, it will take place. Are you understanding me? God wants us to fight. And the word of God says, I beg you, don't let the worlds mold you. Don't let them squeeze you into their mold of isolation. So why should I fellowship? God commands it. Secondly, the body of Christ needs it. I've heard people say things like, I don't need them. Me, I don't need them. You don't need us. We agree. But the body needs you. And it's God who said it. Are you in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12? For a better contest, you need to start from verse 20 to 27. But I will read two verses from 25 and 26. He says that the body should work together as a whole, with all the members in sympathetic relationship with one another. So it happens that if one member suffers, all the other members suffer with it. That's fellowship. You are involved in their hurts. When they suffer, you. When they hurt, you hurt with them. And if one member is honored, all the members share a common joy. That's from the Phillips translation. And so I want us to learn as the people of God to make sure the world is not squeezing us into its mold of isolation. Because there are many Christians who are really struggling. And they are behaving like the other person who the other pastor has to call me to go help. And then I realized, but you could have asked for the help here because of what somebody said. People talk. And it's because they have needles. They are porcupines. But remember, you are porcupine too. And as we needle each other, we need each other. Amen. I don't have a problem. Let's say I have this five people here. If they talk about me, and after that they have a prayer meeting for me, I don't care what you say. That's me. Because to find somebody to pray for you is difficult. If they begin their prayer meeting with their gossip, that's up to them. Just pray for me. As long as you pray, aku. The enemy is gradually squeezing us into a mold, reminding you, you were made to stand alone. You were not made to stand alone. Even the world understands it. Even the world, they understand it. And we must come together. I said, we must what? Come together.
So the early church was devoted to the apostles' what? And fellowship. Now, three things that will make fellowship better. Please write it down. If fellowship is going to occur in its proper context, it has to be voluntary and spontaneous. You cannot legislate that people should belong to a certain group, because people naturally go where they want to go. Can't do that. One lady one time told me, "Pastor, I wanted to be close to you." I said, "What stops you?" He says, "But it looks like you are too spiritual." I said, "My pastor, what do you expect?" What do you expect? So what you see is what you get. That's it. And so she began to take steps, and the closer she got, she realized that, oh, I've been overestimating. After all, he's human too. He prays, but he has struggles like me. And she began to have victory. Can you believe what would have happened in this person's life had they kept the distance? Sometimes I don't think it's so much about people's needles. It's because of our pride. We are too proud. Peter. Do you know Peter in the Bible? What degree did Peter have? Yet people go to Bible schools and they write dissertation on Peter's book just so they can get a PhD. And Peter is an ordinary fisherman. I am not saying education is not good. I love to be educated. Involvement should be voluntary and spontaneous, never mandatory. People must have the freedom to get involved as God what leads them. When God touches your heart, get close to this person. Get close to them. Because for all you know, your breakthrough is in them. I remember when I wrote my first book, I had to pay somebody to do the proofreading. And a brother here does it. And he read my book and still pointed to me an error that the one I paid still missed. I said, "God, thank you for reminding me that the tools are inside the building." And when I started looking, there were people who could design it, because the first one, I looked for designers elsewhere. Everything was in here. Your blessing is right by your nose, but because of their needles, you want to walk away from them. Pay attention. God didn't bring you into the company of people just for the sake of it. They are in your life for a reason. Sometimes your savior is your spouse. That one got a mixed reaction. Because you see their cockatoos, you think that they are not. They are. Fellowship would have to occur also in the context of vulnerability. You must be ready for somebody to know your stuff. One day it will be revealed, so reveal it now. Pastor, they will go talk about me. I learned it a few years ago that it doesn't matter what you say about me. What my testimony is before God is what matters. If you will pray, I will let you know. I don't care. And sometimes I realize I am very weak, right? But then all of a sudden, from nowhere, there's some energy. It pops up, boom. And I can tell that I wasn't praying. Somebody else is doing this. As long as you pray me up, you can talk. I don't care. Because I was not born to make it alone. Have you seen a child who was given birth to today? Just lying there, and then they do number two. Then they get up and say, I can't believe I do number two. Then they start cleaning themselves. Have you seen some before? They have to depend on their parents, because that is how God has made it. Then when they get to a certain age, then they have to turn around and take care of vulnerability. You know you have struggles. And for us to be able to help people, quit. There's too much judging. Stop it. Just help them because they need what? Help. If they can't tell you, who else should they go tell? Then when they have other friends other than you, you get mad too. Because by when they tell you, all you are doing is judging them. You say, oh, is that the issue you are struggling? Yeah, I used to be there. This is how I came over it. You see, when people realize that you are so open and authentic with them, they will do the same with you. When somebody becomes vulnerable, respect their vulnerability, and go on your knees and pray for them. Amen. And cry to God concerning them. If fellowship is going to occur, it must be voluntary, it must be spontaneous, there ought to be vulnerability. And finally, there has to be accountability. I said there has to be what? Since your actions affect not just you, you must be accountable to someone. Somebody should be able to ask you, why did you do it this way? Are you guys with me? Anytime I make a decision, I don't only think about myself, my wife, and my children. I have to think about all of you. Because when you go somewhere and say, oh, did you see your pastor and what he's doing over there? So my actions affect you. So if I am going to live and live well, I must be accountable to you. Same way, you will have to be accountable to me. Amen. So we found out that the New Testament church, number one, devoted themselves to the study of God's word, to hearing it and making sure that they fully understand it. Secondly, they were devoted to fellowship, getting involved in people's lives. All right. Thirdly, they were devoted to the breaking of bread. Everybody say breaking of bread. Now, the context of this, if you look at verse 46, you realize that they are not referring to communion. It's just meals, people eating, coming together and having some jollof. We must come to that place as a people of God, learn to break bread with your own. How come you can break bread with all kinds of bodies by the people in the house of God? Amen. The Bible says they devoted to teaching, that is doctrine. They devoted to fellowship, that is getting involved in people's life. And then they devoted to eating in places, eating together, break bread together. At Grow Group, break bread together. Sunday, we close church. You have food in the parking lot and you're telling people, come have a plate. Invite someone. Sometimes simply look for someone who is single. And as a family, during Thanksgiving, ask them, join us. You're going on vacation. You have little kids. And you don't know who else is going to babysit them. Take one single person here in our midst. Book a room. Ask the person to stay there during the week, during the day. Tell her or him to go have fun. In the night, they take care of your children so you and your wife can also go have some fun. Break bread. The early church focused. The Bible says it was a priority. They were devoted to teaching. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to breaking bread around. You know that sometimes eating with people can solve a lot of issues. Are you learning anything today? So ask yourself, who amongst us here, who is not your buddy that you've been able to invite to your home and say, come share a meal with us? Come on. Come share a meal with us. The fourth thing they devoted themselves to was praying together. Praying what? Not just praying, but praying together. Remember, everything they were doing is together. They learned the apostles' teaching together. They broke bread together. Fellowshipping is getting involved together. And now they are praying together. When you read the book of Acts chapter 12, the Bible says that Herod saw that certain individuals in the church, James was the head of the church in Jerusalem. James was an issue for him. So he grabbed James and he killed him because the church was not praying. Then when he realized that, yeah, it looks good. I'm going to look more powerful. The scripture says he grabbed Peter, But verse 5 of Acts chapter 12 says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but the church continued to pray. Because when we pray together, something happens. It ought to be a priority. I said it ought to be one? A priority. When the church prays together, things begin to take place. Acts chapter 4 tells us when the church began to pray, the place where they were was shaken. They had boldness to declare God's word. People, it is good if one person can chase 1,000. What do you think 2 will do? 10,000. Those of you who did mathematics, is that a regular progression? If one put to flight 1,000, 2, the Bible says we put to flight 1. That is not a regular arithmetic progression. If you did the math, you will realize that he's trying to say that as soon as it becomes 2, their power would grow up. So if it's 1 to 1,000, then 2 should be 2,000. But if 2 now catapults to 10,000, then he's talking about multiplication. It's not an addition in this contest. And this is why most churches, when they have prayer meetings, Satan will make sure people find reason not to go. Because when the church gathers to pray together, something happens. You find that the doctors are saying, this sickness, that sickness. You've been fasting and praying on your own. The time has come. Bring other believers around and start praying together and see what the Lord will do. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. It's your personal issue. When they hear it, they will go and laugh. Pray. When I get better. 2018, when me and my wife made the decision, we're going to tell the church, so you all pray for me so I'll get better. There were people who still laughed. There were pastors who called me and said, you think you are strong now? See how Satan is attacking you. And I said, my brother, are you praying? He said, yeah. I said, yeah, then keep on praying. Don't worry. Today, I am fine. We worry too much about other things to me that are not necessary. I will leverage you into prayer because with you, we can go places. Are you understanding me? Everybody has value. Sometimes they don't see it. Later on, that pastor called back and said, I didn't know that when we pray, something will happen. I say, yes, so keep praying. We must learn to pray. Come on, talk to me. We must learn to pray. Pray together. Because when we come together and we lift up our voices, you don't have faith. This one has it. This one doesn't have faith. The other one has it. This one doesn't have faith. The other one has it. And as we begin to pray, heavens is going to come down. Because you will find one or two or three in the midst of the pack who has faith. It's the same way with your children. Gather them, let them pray. Let them see what happens in the hour of difficulty. Don't go fast and pray on your corner. Involve them. It ought to become a priority. So what is the priority number one? Priority number three. Breaking of bread. And priority number four. Priority number five is that they had great respect for God. I'll put it in modern terms. Let me put it in King James terms. They feared God. If you read the book of Acts chapter 2, right? Let's read verse 43. It says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Everyone was filled with what? Acts 2:43. So this church were a people who feared God. Everybody say, fear God. And it was a prevailing thing. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Awe. A reverential fear. They have so much respect for God. You see, if I decide to fellowship with you and you share something with me, what is important is that as long as I fear God, I will not talk about it.
So the four things we talked about were the activities. Now I'm talking about the attitude of heart that helps us to accomplish those four things. Because when people know, they don't need to know. They don't need to ask you, hey, don't tell anybody. But because they know you fear God, they know you will not talk about it to nobody. The Bible says they had great awe, great respect for God. Do you have great respect for God? We need to ask ourselves, do you have great respect for God? Finally, they have what I call genuine love for each other. Nocido. Genuine. And they express their love in a way that is descriptive. We cannot take it to be prescriptive. Are you guys with me? Acts chapter 2. Let me pick up from verse 44 to verse 46. You will see how they showed their love. All the believers were together in one place, and they shared everything in common. They would sell their land and the things they owned, and then divide the money and give it to anyone who needed it. This is descriptive. The Bible is not telling us to go sell our stuff. But this is how they showed their love. If somebody sells their property just so they can help you out of poverty, that's genuine. Let's continue to see how they showed it. The believers met together in the temple. They ate together in their homes, sharing their food with joyful and sincere hearts. They met in the temple every day. Who and who meet together every day? It's love beds. People who love each other. They can't just have enough. They meet each other. They were showing each other that this, the love I have for you, this koinonia, this fellow, this is genuine. Because I can't get enough of you. I want to see you in the temple every day. How are we going to show our genuine love? Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 9. After he said, I beg you, don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold, he begins to tell them what to do. We're going to read the verses one by one. Please, if you can read with me from the screen, that will be awesome. Ready? Go. Your love must be real. Pause. In fact, the New Revised Standard Version says, your love must be genuine. I think NIV and other versions says, let it be sincere, not hypocritical. Showing that you love, but you actually... Real love makes commitments. And when they make those commitments, they stick by it. Your love must be real. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Verse 10. Please read verse 10 with me. Love each other like brothers and sisters. Give each other more honor than you want for yourself. Love each other like
brothers and sisters.
Why did the Bible says like brothers and sisters? Number one, you can't throw them away. Number two, they will make you mad. They will needle you. But you realize you need them. Love like what? Brothers and sisters. In other words, we will fight, oh. We will needle each other, but you just can't go. You have to stick around. In a counseling session one day, a husband and wife were fighting, and then I asked the man, if your kids did what your wife did to you, would you be able to say you don't want to be with them? The man says, Pastor, no. And I said, do you know why? You can easily tell your wife you don't like her anymore, but your kids would do the same thing, and you can't say it. Because you are bonded to one of them by blood. The other one is by love.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555. or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.